During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
I think you're going to hear a lot about this thing. This is kind of a different, unique load for waterfowlers. And then we're going to talk about neutered carp. No.
Well, that's, I guess, one description, right?
Yeah.
That's they are sterile. They really were never neutered.
I understand. That is my co-host, Mark Tobin. Mark is so short, I don't want to go there. No, I better not say. I got a good joke for you. It might be offensive to some.
So be nice. It's be early nice. In the morning.
Early in the morning. And
yes.
All three of our listeners up, you think?
Yeah, it should be.
Really?
Three of them.
Three?
Maybe. Yeah.
Five? One time we got up to five.
I know my wife and my mom are up, so there's two.
Why would your wife be up listening to this? My wife gets up and listens to this, too.
She's a glutton for punishment.
Evidently.
Yeah.
I think my wife lets me know every once in a while when I cross that line. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Which is weekly.
It is not. It's a family show. But we next week's show.
Should be interesting.
Should be interesting. There is a possibility of having Ted Nugent on next Saturday.
That'll be fun.
That might be kind of cool. Then we're going to have the Hunter Nation guys come in the studio. If you've not joined Hunter Nation, maybe you should. But he is trying everything in his behalf to get a hold of Nuge, so we'll see.
Cool.
Yeah, that'll be kind of interesting. You know one thing about Ted Nugent? You know where he stands.
There's no gray area.
There's no gray area. I mean, either Second Amendment or none.
Yeah,
pretty right. Simple, isn't
yeah,
it?
Right.
Isn't it saying the Constitution we have the right to keep and bear arms?
Somewhere in there, yeah.
It does, doesn't it? I read that, I think it was. Amazing. What the hey. Dan, duck season right up around the corner here a little bit. This your last year guiding, you were telling me?
Yeah, last year guiding. I go back next year and family and friends. And maybe, just maybe a few South Americans that come hunt with me.
Huh.
I might do that, but it's my 54th year hunting waterfowl.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Well, you don't look that old. You must have started really young.
I was 8 years young. I used to stand up on a milk crate with a boy named Jay Stock that I'm still hunting with, so he could see up over the duck blind at eight.
Oh, well, yeah. What was your first recollection of an early duck hunt? What got you hooked on it?
You know, watching my dad call ducks. My dad was a legendary caller, and that really got my attention.
8 years old, was it hard to get out of bed to go hunting with him?
No, a lot of enthusiasm for an 8 year old back then. There might have been a little sleep in between point A and point
right.
B.
Right. Yeah.
But once it was on, with five generations, I have a grandson the same way.
Cool.
Awesome.
We're a waterfowl family.
You got a duck blind on Smithville?
We do. And, of course, we got a couple up there, up north, up there in the Squaw Creek area, too.
What's your rate sheet, if you don't mind talking about it? You charge?
For a hunter, single hunt, $200 per hunter. You give me four or more people, it's $175 a piece.
Okay.
10 or more, $150. I build big, big blinds.
How many people can you accommodate?
10 to 12.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I'm very stringent on safety. I have safety talks for all my hunts.
Yeah.
That's very, very important. Give them shooting lanes. And, sometimes that safety gets clicked off in the heat of the moment. And we kind of have a buddy system where you have your safety on.
Yeah. Good.
You got many hunters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of teal season do you have?
I can't even say adequate at best. Yeah. We had an opportunity we had some nice groups come in, 15 plus birds. Probably should have shot more. Ended up shooting five or six. Worked out a dog, really, that I had up. I was training, and it served its purpose for that. But rather than that, it was a warm teal season.
How do they get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me. I have a website, www.ironduckhunting.com. Or I have an Iron Duck Hunting page on Facebook.
Okay. Well, I've known Dan now for a lot of years. And I hear nothing but good things about you.
You know, Fred, we share common ground for sure up there in the Squaw area.
Yeah.
You know, we catch each other at lunch, you know, kind of compare notes what we, you know, we've done through the day. But we really enjoy hunting with the veterans. We have a lot of veterans come hunt with us.
I know you do that. That's really, really cool.
You got to give back to them. And I think what they like most of all, that it doesn't shoot back at them. They, they kind of like that.
Yeah, I think they kind of like that. They don't like it. If the boom is on their side and not on the other side.
Yeah.
So what the hey, you know. We'll talk about that a little bit more. We're going to, again, have Jeff Berry on with this 2.0 Kent cartridge shell. And I knew about this. I don't know if I was sworn to secrecy on it, but I just knew that Kevin Howard was involved. He was a good friend of mine. He used to be the promotions guy for Winchester. And they went to Canada last week, and I think they had 400 birds, Dan.
Nice.
Ain't bad, is it?
No, that's a good bunch of birds. I've had group scope earlier that migration quite hasn't, you know, it's warm up there just as well as it is here. But that's a start.
Yeah.
That's a good start.
One afternoon they said it was just, and Kevin was telling me, he said, I've duck hunted all my life. He said, I've never had anything like that. He said it was just lock and load and lock and load and lock and load. And he said it was one of the finest hunts he'd ever been on. So when we get Jeff on, we'll talk about that hunt just a little bit. Truman Lake is down to only 3 foot above Power Pool.
That's right.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, they're still running a lot of water through it. I mean, there's still a lot of water on the Kansas lakes that's coming down through there. So they are still running a lot of water. And we did have a lot of rain this week. And if you are going to Truman, the fishing is really, really good. But the upper ends of most
muddy.
All, yeah, got muddy, and you want to stay away from the muddy water. From what I'm hearing, go find clear water, and then you'll find the fish. But it just muddied up, and it just got them kind of, they're just adjusting, and whenever water muddies up like that, there's going to be a few days that they don't bite very good. And so look for the clear water, what I'm hearing. But also, if there's any wind blowing, there are some white bass and hybrid showing
really?
Up on shallow water.
Uh-oh.
As little as 1 to 3 foot of water.
Whoa, no.
So get out on the main lake. Any main lake flats, points, any windy bank, give it a try. And this is that time. Oh, God, can you believe? Just went from like summer to fall, just in the flip of a switch this week. I was so sick of this warm weather.
Everybody was.
It just gives me so much more energy, this cool weather. I just love it.
Summer from hell.
It has been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with us, between the hot air and the rising water, we got it again the other night. And the roads closed up there again and washed out. And the roads they rebuilt have already gone. And
you almost got water up into your duck cabin,
it got
you?
Right to the door, and I think it crested it and went right back down the other way. But
too close.
We just kind of remodeled a little bit. I'd stayed off of it on purpose, completing it, because I thought, you know, 53 levees broke, 1 6-inch rain, and away we go again.
The way this year's going, right.
I'm not going to get too enthused until things happen. You know, until things change a little bit. Allegedly, December the 1st, they're going to shut Gavin's Point down.
They were still running, as of today, 80,000 CFS.
Wow. Yes.
This is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, this has been all year. It's been 70,000 CFS, and now they've upped it to 80,000 over the last 2 weeks. That's incredible amounts of water coming down.
Some places in Dakotas got 600% higher than normal rainfall.
Golly, it just doesn't end.
It's like being in the tropics up there.
Well, and look at the snowfall coming. What?
Yeah.
Snowfall, too.
Really Montana.
Yeah. Big punch. Snow.
Several feet of snow.
Yeah. Crazy. Another interesting thing, up there on I-29 north of Mound City tonight, they ran over another elk. This makes two, one on 71 Highway, bull elk. And so can you imagine going 70 mile an hour and be coming down I-29 and here's a 1,000-pound bull standing in front of your Volkswagen?
You lose.
Yeah.
Where was this at?
Up north of Mound, up Tarkio area up in there. This is the second big bull that has been in it. You know, everybody keeps calling me, where are they coming from? Where are they coming from? Well, I don't know. They're not alive. I can't talk to them. I don't know where they're coming from, you know.
Migrating.
Who knows? You know, I don't know. Yeah, I could get on my soapbox for about a half hour on that thing a little bit. But anyway, it's just weirdest times. A bear up in Gentry County killing a deer. I don't understand what's going on in America, but what the hey, I'm not very smart, so. That's why I'm here on the radio. No deal. What about Milford?
It's they're starting to catch a few hybrids. I heard some guys this past week that were following some seagulls.
Oh.
And it was the hybrids that were busting on top, and they did real good. So it's still 17 feet high, so there's still a lot of water out there. But, you know, with the water starting to cool down now, it's just going to trigger everything. And with the summer that we had and a lot of people couldn't fish, it ought to be just spectacular fall for fishing on most any of these lakes.
Next spring is going to be fantastic because a lot of fish didn't get harvested.
Right, yep.
They're going to have
and
growth pattern.
We probably had real good survival rates of the spawns this year. You know, those fry had lots of places to get up and hide away from predators. So, yeah, you know, it was a bad summer, but we ought to reap the rewards here for the next 2-3 years.
Tell you something else I'm seeing, too. I've been up goofing around a little bit, but I'm seeing deer again. And we went for a long, long time in Holt County without, you know, you just didn't see the deer. And all of a sudden, you know, I saw 8 one day, 4 another day, you know. So I'd say that numbers maybe come back just a little bit. You know, the deal. So,
if my yard's any indication, we had a dozen out there 2 nights ago.
Really?
And they're getting all over my garden,
mm.
which is, this is getting serious. Mm-hmm. They start messing with my tomatoes, you know. This is.
They got to be eliminated. Ain't a jury in the world would convict you.
No.
What was that tomato you gave me the other day?
There was some Cherokee Purple. I really like Cherokee Purple. And there's a couple of new ones I tried this year, Mountain Merit and Summer Pick. And those are real good. I've got Monte Carlo. Monte Carlo is another one that I like a lot.
The sweetest tomato I've ever put to my lips.
Wow.
They were great. They weren't good. They were excellent.
The tomato season isn't long enough, and now it's about over. We're supposed to have maybe a frost later on this week.
Don't talk like that.
I still got a few hanging on. But. Well, the good thing about that is goodbye grassy weeds and good riddance.
Yeah.
This has been the summer from hell on grassy weeds, crabgrass, foxtail, all that kind of stuff.
Last Saturday's show, we had recorded Meat Eater.
Yeah.
Steve Ranella. I got so much feedback from that show. It was absolutely unbelievable. That guy is bigger than Dallas.
Yeah, that was great. He was great.
Oh, my goodness.
Fun guy to talk to.
Yeah. But you couldn't get him talked into eating tomato worms.
Not tomato hornworms. No, he said he would accept the challenge. And I told him I thought that he could make about anything taste good from what I've seen.
Yeah.
But he said he'd take the challenge. He's never tried to cook a tomato hornworm, but he said he'd give it a try. But he did. I couldn't get over, you know, I asked him if there's anything that he put to his lips that he had a hard time choking down. And that raw liver seasoned with bile. He had a hard time with that one.
What'd you say?
That's a game changer right there.
How about putting the gunpowder on something when they're trying to eat gunpowder?
He did a lot of studies with Native Americans, and this was one of the things that they liked to eat was raw liver, buffalo liver, seasoned with bile. And they would use also sometimes gunpowder as a seasoning.
That's pretty extravagant. I know your taste buds are long for the ride, but that's taking them down to Disney ride.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I couldn't get over that.
I went to a thing that had these golden arches today and got a cheeseburger, and it was good. You know, so I'm fine with that. I don't need this other stuff. Yeah,
don't carry around
a
little.
I'm not that mad at my mouth.
No. I pulled up a little window and handed the gal money, and they handed me food, and I drove off. It was great.
Don't keep a little jar of bile in your car to season with.
Them days have gone by.
Can you even imagine how hungry you would have to be? It had to have been some kind of wacky weed that they were smoking to think that would taste good.
That or they're mad at themselves.
You know, one of the comments he made is, and I didn't think about this, but he read all about these trappers and all this stuff, was they really didn't want to eat deer meat. They didn't think it tasted good.
Right. It was buffalo.
Buffalo is what they were after. And the deer were, they wanted to hide.
Right.
And that's basically what whitetail deer was all about. And I've said that for years. You know, I cannot choke down deer meat. I can do it, but I don't want to, you know, and the stuff. It's just terrible, terrible taste on the thing. I ate a piece of bear. You ever eaten bear meat, Dan?
I have. I have some clients come down out of Wisconsin, and they brought me some black bear chili.
Mm.
And it was delicious. Actually, the meat was a little sweet.
Really? Oh, wow.
And I enjoyed it.
Did you?
Yeah, it was very, very good.
Huh. I was up in Montana, and a guy had shot a bear, and when I stumbled into their camp, they said, "Hey, you want some bear meat?" And I said, "You know, I've never eaten bear meat." and the more I chewed on it, the bigger it got. and going behind the bush and spitting it up, you know, on the deal. But I, you know, it tasted exactly. I've eaten raccoon before, and it tasted exactly to me like it was. It's a very greasy, tough deal. We're going to have Jeff Berry, if you can get him on the phone, and we're going to have Dan chime in from time to time, then we're going to take your neutered trout fishing, and ought to make a good show. We are brought to you by King City Lumber, the finest lumber company in America. If you're thinking about an outbuilding for your farm, your residence, your garage, you want a hay barn, you want a loafing shed, whatever you're looking for, these are the people to build it. KingCityLumber.com. Go to their website. You'll be on there for about 20, 30 minutes. If you do not like what you see, you call Marty Amani up at King City Lumber, and they will help you design one, lay one out. I cannot say enough good things about King City Lumber Company, and I mean that's from my heart, too. So, again, KingCityLumber.com. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. By the magic of the telephone, going to get a hold of my good friend Jeff Berry, and we're going to talk about Kent Cartridge Company. They got some exciting new products to say. That's a vast understatement. How would I introduce this better? But anyway, that'll get you the gist of it. Jeffy, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. Fred, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great considering what I've been through in life, but what the hey? Where am I calling to?
You're calling to Richmond, Virginia today right now.
Wow. Men are men and sheep are nervous in Richmond, Virginia, in case you didn't know that. You know, a lot of strange people. I love them down there. Kent Cartridge Company, you guys just been up in Canada with my good friend Kevin Howard. How'd you guys do?
Exceptional would be the one word to describe it. We had 4 days of some of the best hunting that I've ever experienced in my lifetime. I would recommend to anyone who's been thinking about going up to Canada this time of year, just do it. It is unbelievably good in terms of waterfowl hunting.
What year, you know, I mean, you've been waterfowl hunting. What is it? Is it the hatch up? What do you think was going on? Was the weather right? What happened there?
A combination of all of the above. Sheer numbers of birds, the weather. This is, you know, they haven't been pressured yet. You know, by the time they're in the Midwest here, or even, you know, into the South, they've been shot at all season long, and they're a little wiser. So it's just a combination of we're getting a first crack at them, and the sheer numbers and the conditions were I think perfect for a great hunt while we were up there.
You had a good outfitter, huh?
Absolutely, Goose Haven and Safari River Outfitters. Did a tremendous job putting us right on the birds every morning. I couldn't have asked for anything better. I know there's a lot of folks who go and do it themselves up in Canada, and that's fine. But if anyone has an opportunity to go up, find a good outfitter, because they work hard for you.
Kent Cartridge Company, I guess, to me and the guys here in the studio probably pretty well kind of know about who you are. But I guess maybe we should stop for a second. Maybe some people don't know. Tell us about Kent Cartridge Company.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things, Kent Cartridge is a relatively young company. We were founded 22 years ago, mm-hmm. and by a group of hunters that didn't like the non-toxic shot alternatives that were on the market at that time. If you recall, 22 years ago, it was the not long after steel shot was federally mandated on migratory birds, and the products weren't that good. So this group of hunters decided to start a company and make a better product, and that's what they did. They launched a product called Tungsten Matrix. It's a tungsten and polymer blend shot that's designed to mimic lead, both in its density and its softness, but it is yet non-toxic, and it still remains the only product to do that. And through the years, we've come out with a number of other innovative products that give hunters out there a performance edge in the field.
You know, I've shot them and love them. Can't say enough good things about them, but I'll just be straight up with you, too. A lot of it has to do on cash flow and how much money you want to spend in these shells. And Kent's always very, very competitive on their prices. So you guys, I think, have pride yourself of holding that price down on this thing. What's this 2.10? What is this new load?
Fast Steel 2.0. So a year after Kent Cartridge was founded and we introduced Tungsten Matrix, that was more of a niche product. We wanted to fill a product that would be affordable for the masses, and we introduced FastSteel. And that product was on the market for 20 years. And over the course of the 20 years, there's been changes in technology that would allow us to make a better product going forward by using some of that technology and creating an entirely different product with some subtle but meaningful changes. And that's what we did with FastSteel 2.0. A couple of the subtle changes includes a change to an internal component called a base wad that makes it more forgiving and semi-auto. You know, believe it or not, there's guys who don't clean their guns. Believe it or not, there's a bunch of new guns been introduced into the market just in the last 5 years. Some have tight chambers. Some have, you know, very different operating systems. So us tweaking that internal component just makes it a little more forgiving in semi-autos. We're using zinc-plated steel shot and nickel heads for an element of corrosion protection. And where we could, we made some of our loads faster without reducing the pattern density and uniformity or increasing felt oil. And the best part of all is we kept the price the same. We're the most affordable premium steel shot shell on the market today.
Nice.
Amen.
and a woman.
Yeah. This is a great, great, great product. This wad, you kind of passed over that a little bit. It's a completely different kind of design, isn't it?
Well, the base wad, which every shot shell has it, and it doesn't exit the shell like it's a traditional wad. It's at the very bottom, and it's about the same depth as the primer. And it's really fairly simple. We just changed the diameter of that base wad to make it more forgiving in semi-autos. Now, we do have an exclusive wad design, which allows us to deliver some very high-speed loads. We have loads that are 1,560 feet per second up to 1,625 feet per second. What we had discovered in our R&D testing that some of the wads on the market would break in cold temperatures at those speeds and throw your patterns off. So we worked with a wad manufacturer to come up with an exclusive design that does not break in cold temperatures and will hold your patterns true. That's one of the hallmarks of our products. We're going to deliver consistent performance in all conditions, whether you're cold, whether cold or a nice day, it doesn't matter. We're going to perform no matter what.
Great
awesome.
Product.
Awesome. That's what we want.
Yeah, that's what we want. And you guys are keeping the price down. You know, it's just a wonderful, wonderful load. And I can't say enough good things about it. So, yeah, you guys are on the right track. I'm proud of you. What about your primers? I mean, is a primer a primer is a primer is a primer?
Not necessarily. There's different primers available. We use what's called the CX2000 primer. It's manufactured by the same company that produces our hulls. They come to us pre-primed. That primer is designed specifically to ignite the low-flash double-base powder that we use. So the primers match to the powder, which the powders match to the loads that are delivering these high velocities with safe pressures for you.
Okay, one of the questions I was asked is, what choke do I shoot out of these shotguns? Does this load damage anything in my shotgun?
With our FastSteel 2.0, no matter what, you need to use a choke tube that's rated for steel shot. That's number one. Number two, definitely get out and do some patterning with your gun. A few rounds down range at 30 to 40 yards on a 30-inch patterning board will tell you a lot. You know, a more open choke for your close-range shots, a tighter constriction for your long range would be a general rule of thumb, but still get out and throw a few rounds down range at a patterning board, and that'll tell you the story.
Okay, now here I'm already pumped up, motivated, and focused on next spring's turkey hunting. What do you guys got load for a good turkey load?
Oh, we have a tremendous one, Fred. It's called TK7. It's a tungsten-based load. It's very similar to some of the other tungsten products on the market. We use 15 density tungsten number sevens, and it falls between some of the other tungsten products in terms of density. We feel it goes right into the sweet spot because we are able to get 200 plus pellets in a 10-inch circle,
wow.
40
wow.
yards. Oh yeah!
It's
tremendously dense pattern. With a payload that's only an ounce and 5/8, because of the density and the combination of number five or number seven shot, we're able to use a lower payload than some of the other competitive products out there. And as a result, for a high performance tungsten product, we're able to keep the price a little bit lower than some of the products out there. If you look at some of the competitive products, they're using over 2 ounces of that expensive tungsten product. We've been able to get the same performance on a lower payload. And another nice advantage of that, it provides managed recoil. It's not going to rattle your teeth out.
Yeah.
You have two bombs coming in, you might be able to have a good chance at a follow-up shot using our TK7.
Well, my partner here, he needs 10 follow-up shots, so I'm not supposed to mention that on the air. You know, what the hey. Jeffy, I want to get you back on because I really want to get into more detail about that. Is that a possibility someday down the road here?
Oh, I'd love to, Fred. Anytime. I certainly appreciate being on today and would relish the opportunity to be on in the future.
Well, I tell you what, you guys got it going. You're keeping the price down. You're my kind of people. If you're hanging around with Kevin Howard, you're a good human. So I appreciate you getting up early and joining us here on the air. We are up against the clock, but you're a wonderful, wonderful company. I'm hearing nothing but great things. When I hear some of your people who are competitors saying good things about you, that tells me you're on the same right road. So... Thank you.
Just real quick, Kent Cartridge, where are your shotgun shells available at?
They're available at sporting goods retailers across the country,
okay,
from independent retailers to box stores.
Awesome.
Yeah, everywhere. I mean, they've done a great job in marketing, and they're just good company. I hear nothing but good things about you guys. So, and your waterfowlers and your hunters, and it makes all the difference in the world. So, again, we're up against the clock. Thank you. I will contact you probably later today if that's possible, and I'd like to reschedule you give you a lot more time.
Absolutely, Fred. You guys have a great day, and thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you're sure welcome, kid. All right, buddy. Well, I tell you what, this load is really coming on, boys. I'm hearing nothing. I mean, when you hear competition talking about Kent Cartridge Company.
Well, I shoot Kents. That's all I shoot.
That's all you shoot?
Real high octane on the FPS, you know.
Great load.
Oh, fantastic
great load.
Load.
Yeah, Kent's enough good load. Things. I think he said that turkey load's in sevens, didn't he?
Yes. Mm-hmm. 200 pellets.
And so they shoot clean through you and out the other side. We are brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, my good friend Trevin Reed up at I-29 and Frederick Avenue, St. Joseph, Missouri, 28 minutes north of KCI. If you guys still got Silverado pickups, got some new ones in the other day, and they're getting like hen's teeth, as you know, because of the strike, but he's got them. Great selection, great people, honest, sincere, dedicated. Some of the best people I've ever met in my life is that Reed family, and they are just wonderful, wonderful people. If you knew what I knew about them and what they've done, not only to help the customers, but help other people. That's just the kind of people that you want to do business with. Plus, they save you a great big sack of nickels, a big, large sack of nickels. Mark, do you like saving nickels?
I love any kind of money.
Your boy bought one there.
He did 2 years ago. It's his pride and joy. He absolutely adores that truck. And it was such a pleasant experience, I tell you. There was just no pressure. You know, there's non-commissioned salespeople, and this is such an important deal. It's so different than anybody else out there. And there's no pressure on them, so they don't put any pressure on you. The only thing, the hardest thing is just picking out what vehicle you want.
And he's got a great selection. At one time, I had 102 pickups up there. I don't know if they've got them now, but that's how good they are. And I just love those guys.
Dwayne was the salesman that helped me and my son.
I don't talk about him on the air. He's not normal.
We just, we talked for fishing 2.5 hours.
Yeah, don't pay attention to him. He'll go away. Reed Chevrolet, I can't say enough good things. Please go up there and buy. You're going to save you some money, treat you like you need to be treated. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. Going to take a little break. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Midwest Outdoors. In the studio, Dan Geyer, IronDuckHunting.com. If you want a duck, do you shoot this Kent cartridge?
I do. I really enjoy them. They're a real hot shell, you know, 1600 plus. That's pushing some heat, and you don't have to lead them as far. I know that.
Yeah. and it penetrates on the deal.
Great penetration.
Joe Falco's having a tournament?
Yeah, coming up in 2 weeks, October 19th. This is a kayak tournament.
That's Sportsman's Outfitter Marine.
Right, yeah. And this is cool. It's 100% payback. Depending on the boats, first prize could be as much as 1,000, maybe more, depending on how many boats show up.
1,000.
So listen up. This is a kayak tournament. Doesn't matter what brand. But, Joe, if you want to fish this, let's say you have a kayak, but you're maybe wanting to upgrade, he will give you a kayak to use for this tournament.
Whoa!
Just contact Joe at joe@somkc.com, and he will arrange to have a brand new kayak for you to fish out of and test drive. What a great way to test drive a kayak. Joe is just such a good guy. Everybody out of Sportsman's Outfitter Marine is so great. But this tournament's going to be October 19th on Middle Creek Lake.
And I guess that one went by. I mean, Middle
you know
Creek.
Where
no, Middle? I wouldn't have known. Is it Ogden, Utah, or where is it?
No, actually, you know, when we leave the studio, you get to Metcalf.
Uh-huh.
You turn right to go home. If you just turn left and follow Metcalf to where it ends, you will have your life jacket on in your truck, because if you don't stop, you're going to run right into the water.
Really?
Yeah.
How big a lake is it?
I don't know how big it is.
Well, you're supposed to know everything. My goodness.
That I don't.
You're the guru.
It'll be a blast, you know. So if you'd like to fish a bass tournament, it's a bass tournament out of a kayak. And if you want to test drive a kayak, Sportsman's Outfitter Marines, talk to Joe one more time. It's joe@somkc.com. He'll set you up with a free kayak and 100% payback on this tournament. So it'll be a lot of fun.
I wonder, ran into a gentleman the other day. I don't know if he's a gentleman. I ran into a guy the other day that was going to see Joe Falco on the Jackson kayak.
He had two guys from St. Joe this past week that came down and picked up two kayaks.
It must have been one of those yay guys.
Very cool.
After I saw that Jackson kayak with a guy duck hunting out of it at Bob Brown last year, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. You know, and this guy had a sack of decoys. He had his dog. And that thing was so stable and fast.
That's the thing. They're so stable. The Jackson line, there's a lot of kayaks out there now, but the Jacksons are so stable. And that's what you want if you're going to be fishing, or I don't care what you're doing. If you're going to be in a kayak, you want the most stable one that you can get.
Uh-huh.
So check out those Jackson ones.
Huh.
Sportsman's Outfitter Marine. They're out in Belton, last Belton exit, Cass Road.
You know, and I hate to say this, but it's time to think about winterizing your boat. Maybe should have already scheduled it.
Joe is on his way out of town this morning, and when he gets back, he knows he's going to be slammed.
Yeah.
You get into this time of year, and that's what they do. They do a lot of winterizations, and if you've had your boat in the water all year and it needs to be cleaned up, it's a dirty job. You don't want to do it, but they will do it.
Yeah.
They've got the.
It is a dirty job.
Oh, it is.
It's a terrible job. Hey, we've got neutered carp specialist Clint Hale coming on with us.
Neutered carp? No, it's trout.
Well, we'll call him carp.
He is.
It's just aggravating him, that's all.
Yeah,
that's is he a nice guy?
He's the best. He's one of my favorite people in the
world. Is he?
Can I aggravate him
just a little or not?
Nah,
he's too good a guy.
He's got a thick skin, man.
Does he?
Yeah.
Huh.
But he's the number one hatchery manager over at Shepherd of the Hills Fish Hatchery down in Branson, Missouri. My good buddy, Clint Hale. How you doing, Clint?
Real good. How you doing, guys? Well, neutered carp. Okay, that's a first for me.
Well, he keeps calling these triploids neutered. Neutered.
Well, trout. They are.
They're not neutered.
What do you mean they're not
okay,
neutered?
They're sterile, I guess. But, man, big news out of Tanicoma this whole year. Back in February, a new state record was caught. And then only 7 months later, the state record is broken again. Unbelievable. Tell me what's going on with the big brown trout down there, Clint.
Well, yeah, it's pretty exciting. In 2 years, rarely do you break a state record twice.
Yeah.
Yes.
For any species of fish. We did that this year on Tanicomo, and it's pretty exciting. The brown trout state record currently is the fourth largest brown trout ever caught in the world.
Wow.
So, right here in Missouri. So yeah. that's a pretty nice accomplishment, I would say.
Well, back in February, the fish was 28 pounds, some odd ounces, and then that was shattered here a couple of weeks ago with the 34.10 pound trout. So,
well, actually the 28 pound was was shattered in February with the 34. Oh. Now it's 40 pounds.
Oh, that's, yeah, yep, that's right. That's exactly right.
He's not normal. Don't pay attention to him, Clint. But it's okay. It's too early in the morning for Mark Tobin.
I give him a pass.
Yeah. No, don't. Don't give him a pass.
What are you putting in the water down there? How are these,
yeah, really?
How are these fish getting so
detergent.
Big?
Detergent.
Yeah. But that,
well,
I mean,
you know, when, go ahead,
6 pounds. Breaking that February record by 6 pounds. That is unbelievable. And that one was what? It's only a little over 2 pounds shy of the world record?
That's correct. Yes, that's correct.
So chances are you may have a world record swimming around out there.
They do.
That's exactly right. I would predict if the world record holds what it is, that we could break it within a year or two.
Yeah, judging by what's gone on this year. That'd be a pretty safe bet.
I think so.
Yeah. So what we did when I first got here at Shepherd Hills in 2008, it was about a year later, a friend of mine, our sport fish ecologist for the state, had an idea of, producing these triploid trout, these sterile carp, or what? Now, what'd you say, neuter carp?
Neuter carp.
So basically what they are, they're sterile. So they don't spend any time trying to spawn or producing eggs or sperm. They spend all their time eating and growing. And I thought, yeah, that's a great idea. And what better lake to try it in, Taney Como? We tried it in a couple other lakes, too. They didn't survive as well. But they really survived well in Taney Como. We tried. So basically, what you do is you heat shock the eggs, and we tried that for a couple years, and we didn't have very good survivability. So the other way to do it is to pressure shock them. Is basically put them in a cylinder and pressurize them to shock the eggs. Yeah, it's
your big meanies.
What's that?
Your big meanies.
How in the world did you? How did you figure this out?
You come out with
clear.
I'm not the expert on that, but I do have a friend. We've done a nationwide search to see who produces triploid brown trout eggs, and there's a hatchery in Virginia called Paint Bank Hatchery. And they do this every year, and they stock triploid brown trout into their streams, and they make them sterile so they don't compete or don't spawn and compete with the other trout species that they stock. So I called him and I said, "Hey, you think you could get us some eggs? And we're thinking about doing this in Missouri." And a real nice guy, still a friend today. And he said, "Sure, we can do that." So we've done it for 3 years, and we stocked them in 2013, 14, and 15. And we started getting a lot of pictures of these fish. And what we did, we marked them because we wanted to tell the difference between a triploid and a diploid when they come up our fish ladder, because we spawn our diploid fish every year, and they're a different strain. So we wanted to distinguish the difference, and we started seeing these fish being caught at a pretty large size just a few years after the first stocking. And we could see that we clipped the adipose fin. That's the fin right next to the tail on the top of the fish. And we started seeing a lot of big fish, big brown trout being caught, and they were all triploid. So it was pretty exciting, but we could never imagine that that we would break the record twice this year.
Yeah. So that was the first time you started to stock them was 2013?
That's correct.
How long will they live? Any idea?
You know, brown trout can live 15 to 20 years. So,
wow.
What the heck?
You know, this fish, we took some scales. Scales are not the best determination, see the age of a fish. Really, it's the otolith, which is a little small round bone inside their head. And this latest fish was sent to a taxidermist in Kansas City. And Don Frank, he does a lot of Bass Pro.
Yeah, oh yeah. Records. Awesome. He is the best. Yep.
Yep, yep. Great guy.
He is.
He done my brown trout that's in my office.
Wow.
So I can attest to his work. He does really good work. He's done a lot of Shane's fish as well. And we're going to get that. He probably this week, he's going to give us that otolith, and we can count the rings on it just like you do the rings on a tree. Huh. And get the age of the fish. We did look at the scales, and we could only count 6 rings. So
no way.
I'm thinking it's a 7-8-year-old fish, you know, one of the first stockies.
Oh, my goodness.
We did send the blood off. We did get blood from this fish. The sample was somewhat degraded. What they could tell us in the lab that it was definitely 100% not a diploid fish. So that tells us more. I mean, I'm almost 99.9% sure it's a triploid. It didn't have an adipose. It's not a diploid.
Wow.
And we counted, you know, not many rings on the scale. So
this isn't
that's
even.
That's pretty exciting.
It could live twice as long as what it is right now. Any idea what the possible size these fish could attain is?
No idea. I mean, the sky's the limit, though. These fish are living, you know,
wow.
the two records were living under docks, and they're eating fish carcasses. You know, people cleaning fish, throwing them in the water. That's a high-protein diet.
Yeah, right.
So they have it figured out. They don't have to work very much for their food.
Well, now, if you just started putting the triploids in 2013, back in 1997, there was a 41, almost 42-inch trout that turned up dead at Lily's Landing. And I heard estimates that could have been a 44-pound fish. That could have been a world record, or would have been a world record if it hadn't been dead. Do you have any information about that fish? Was that a diploid? It couldn't have been a triploid, could it?
Well, it could have. I mean, it occurs naturally in the wild that you could have sterile fish. We see them in the hatchery in our rainbow trout. So it could have been. I have no details on that fish, but yeah, it was a rare occurrence to see fish that large in Taney Como. But now with the triploids, you know, it's not so rare anymore. You know, the guy who caught it, Bill Babbler, the current state record, he's been a guide here for years, and he fishes a lot of the trout tournaments, and he said he's never seen so many 15-20-pound brown trout caught in tournaments in his whole life, basically, here on Taney Como.
Crazy.
Crazy times, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's exciting times.
Yeah.
You know, that trout puts Taney Como on the world map,
you know,
for a brown trout destination. I have a friend that's in New Zealand, fellow hatchery manager, and I told him, I said, we're right behind you, you know, and showed him pictures of the fish. And, he just thought that was really awesome that Missouri could be competing for a world record in such a sought-after fish as a brown trout.
Mark, do you think ought to be an asterisk behind this?
Well, it's Greg Thompson just texted me wondering if there should be an asterisk next to the record book, between a natural brown and
but
a triploid.
But if certain percentages of them are natural.
Well, that's...
That's okay.
True.
That's correct. We're not changing genetics. We're not, you know, it's basically an extra pair of chromosomes. Currently, as I understand it, I don't think there is any asterisk for these fish, even though we're, you know, producing sterile fish. We're not, like, crossing or doing anything to switch the genetics of these fish. And then, like I said, it does occur naturally. So
it's not a hybrid. It is a brown trout. So
yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
It's a brown trout.
If you're not genetically altering the fish, there shouldn't be an asterisk. Would that be a fair statement?
I would agree.
That would be my assessment, yeah.
Now, when you, Bill Babbler, you say, is the guy who caught this fish?
That's correct.
I mean, is there a story about this fish? Did it jump over the boat and go around the motor 3 times and he finally dipped it up? Or did this fish just go, hey, all right, I'm caught, and lay up on its side? Do you know anything about it?
Yeah, I do. He has a good story. There's a website called Ozark Anglers that has a lot of all the lakes and streams in Missouri, and it's like a chat forum. And he tells the big, long story about it, but basically it wasn't that exciting of a fight because the oxygen this time of year coming to Tanikomo is pretty low.
Right.
So mm-hmm. when you have low oxygen and you have a giant fish fighting,
he's stressed.
It doesn't last very long.
Yeah, he's stressed.
He's stressed, and basically, Bill, you know, that a lot of people have said that size of fish, only a few people could land that type of fish, and Bill would be one of them because he's so experienced. And basically, he got out of the current and moved the boat to where there wasn't any obstructions, logs, rocks, whatever that could this fish could tie him up on. And he fought it. He told us he fought it for around 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And got it in and got it in the net. When he got it in the boat, the fish was so big it broke through his net.
Oh, no.
Wow. Yeah.
My kind of good problem. Good problem.
Yeah, real good problem. You know, and I seen and held and took pictures of this fish. It didn't look like a, you know, and you've seen it, the pictures of the fish. It just didn't look, you know, when they get that big, they kind of look like a mutant or got a big head, and
they're ugly.
This fish did not.
A Tobin look.
You know, this fish to me did not. It looked fairly normal. Like Mark, fairly normal.
From a distance, he looks normal.
Thanks for that, Clint. You know what they say about paybacks.
We got the microphone. Yeah. We can say bad things about it. You know.
Well, we're almost out of time, unfortunately, Clint. Are you still stocking triploids?
We are not. We've done that program as a, you know, basically a study and done it for 3 years, and we are not currently stocking triploids, no.
Well, I think you need to do that.
Yeah, I do too.
We need to start a petition.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah. Great job.
I would not disagree.
Cool stuff, man. Great information.
Great news. Yeah.
Good job down there, Clint. You do a fantastic job down there. And let me encourage anybody that's down there by Branson to go take a tour of the Shepherd of the Hills Fish Hatchery. It's amazing, and it's very, very cool, the stuff that they do down there. And the amount of work that goes into raising these trout is absolutely amazing. You do a fantastic job, Clint. Give your beautiful bride a hug from him.
Oh, I sure will, buddy.
I owe you a steak dinner and some ribs, so I'll see you. See you in January.
He's ready.
I'll feed you.
Yeah. We'll invade him in January. Hey, let's do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go down there.
We're going to
pester him a little bit.
Him and Shane.
Definitely.
Shane Bush, yeah. All right, Clint, go back to bed.
Thanks, Clint.
All right, guys. Thanks
so much, buddy. Sure appreciate it. Thanks for getting up.
All
right. Dan Geyer's here. We're going to get Dan to come back, but ironduckhunting.com, is that correct?
Well, yes. If you want a good duck hunt, it's the guy to talk to.
He puts some
work into this.
I've got some openings. I've got a pretty good schedule, though.
Yeah. Well, get a hold of him, because this is the guy that'll give you 110%. That's the essence of a guide, is do they put the effort? You know, do they change things? When the decoys need to be moved, do they do it? Do they do, you know, all the stuff, you know?
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
I've got a good staff on board, and when things to be, you know, directed in the right direction, they're all over it.
IronDuckHunting.com or Facebook at Iron Duck Hunting.
Yes.
All right.
Well,
that was too quick.
Yeah, that's the fastest hour in radio.
Man.
Thank you guys for having me on.
You're welcome.
Always a pleasure to sit down and talk.
It's happy to meet you. We'll see you
again. Well, you guys have to come out and do some hunting with me.
Love to do that. Yeah.
Come be my guest.
Yeah, you don't want to be seen in public with him, so that's a good place out in Duckland. Tell you what, that wraps it up. I poked fun at you since you got in here this morning.
If you didn't, I would wonder what's wrong.
Okay. Yeah. Got to go for this week. The next time we see you, I hope we see you in the great outdoors.
Have a great week. So long, everybody.